The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. with Gareth Topham, John Budden and James Millman in the studio. Two meetings to look forward to on Good Friday. We've got the All-Weather Championship Finals at Lingfield and a good card on the flat at Musselburgh. And joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Yeah, good, Mark. And yourself?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Well done.
Looking forward to Friday, actually. The car at Musselburgh looks pretty good. And from what we saw last year at the All-Weather Championship Finals, it was a pretty good day last year. So looking forward to more of the same.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was a little bit of a debate, wasn't there, when the proposals first came in about racing on Good Friday. But as far as I'm concerned, if tracks are willing to put up very good prize money, which both tracks have done, and they draw good fields, which they have done, then I'm all for it. You know, we've plenty of days through the season where, unfortunately, we're a lot of the racing is dross. That's something that cannot be said on Good Friday. And I think it really looks like it is going to work.
Okay, good. Well, we'll move on to those races. We're going to have a look ahead to a little bit of the racing from both of those meetings. But before we do that, let's have a quick look at the news and the Grand National, not too far away now. Shut the front door, 7-1 at the top of the market. Will be the mount of AP McCoy, likely to shorten again before the day. Very popular at the top of the market. 10-1 for Rocky Creek. Balthazar King is 11s, 14s for the Druid's Nephew. Alvarado is 20s. Cause of Causes, another JP McManus running the lineup, will be ridden by Paul Carberry, is 20-1 as well. Godsmey Judge, Sol Springheeld, all 20s, 25s or bigger for the others. Two questions, really, Sean. Do you have any fancies at the moment? And is shut the front door too short?
I think Shut the Front Door probably is about the right price, you could argue, Mark. You know, his claims are obvious. He has been prepped with this race wholly in mind. I mean, had that one start back in November, a winning start. He looked in good order with himself that day, and he's been kept for this ever since. His form last year was pretty decent, although he was beaten fair and square, I felt, in the 4-miler. He probably improved to win the Irish National on the back of that. Now, that might be a slight worry for anyone who has backed him. He'd been kept last season for the 4-miler. He'd been off the track 3 months. Mm. And as I say, he looked to be beaten fair and square. Then turned out again a month later, he improved. Will he improve for a run? Of course, he's not going to have a run. No. John Drew O'Neill has said he's very happy to take him straight there. But just looking at his record in the past, it would possibly suggest that a prep run would have been ideal for this horse.
Okay.
So if you're of that opinion, then yeah, he probably is a little bit short. I think Connections will have him plumb, and you know, as I say, his claims are obvious. With regards to my own fancies in the race, Mark, I think Springheeld's has obvious form claims, but it would have to be a big worry that his trainer isn't sending out any winners at the moment. I know he didn't do last year going into Cheltenham when he beat Cause of Causes in the Kim Muir, but it is a huge worry, isn't it? That said, though, this horse really did come alive in the spring of last year, and he looks to have a good racing weight of 10 stone 12. Elsewhere, Alan King's horse, Godsmey Judge, hasn't shown his true form yet this season. But let's not forget, he stays very well. He's a very good jumper. He's a former Scottish National winner back in 2013. He was second in the Scottish National last year. He was third in the Whitbread. And, you know, he looks to have been campaigned with this race in mind. He ran in that Racing Plus chase at Kempton over 3 miles. He probably wants further than that. Ran in a handicap hurdle last time out around Bangor. He's not as good over hurdles He's not anywhere near as good. But back over the larger obstacles, on providing the ground is dry enough, which I'd imagine it will be, I'd give him a chance at a big price.
Okay. Anything else stand out to you for the entry meeting? Anything that's that you're particularly looking forward to seeing?
Not really. It's not like Cheltenham, is it, so much where we dig in and really pick the bones of every race so early. I certainly haven't had an anti-post bet on any race at the meeting, but I look forward to Aintree on the whole. I think it's a little bit more relaxed than Cheltenham. If you go racing, I think you can enjoy it a little bit more than Cheltenham. You're free to move that bit more easily. I don't think we'll have many runners. I think we might just have one on the Saturday. A lot of our jumpers are finished now for the season. We're focusing in on the flat horses now. But it'll be a great meeting, and I'll definitely get there myself, Grand National Day, if we've got a runner. So looking forward to the meeting.
Okay, good stuff. Bit of news elsewhere. Jamie Moore, he's not going to be there at Aintree. No. He's broken his leg, hasn't he? So that's bad news for him.
Huge pity for Jamie Moore. At the same time, though, a huge opportunity for his brother Josh Moore, who looks like he'll step into the plate. He'll know the horse inside out. I know Jamie rides him at home all the time, but Josh will be sitting on him now, and I think it's great that he's going to get the opportunity.
Yeah.
As we were saying, really bad luck for Jamie Moore, who has been riding as well as ever for the last two or three seasons, and he'd surely have been looking forward to getting back up on his favourite horse. But you know, that's injuries come with the territory for jump jockeys, don't they? We've seen in recent weeks Davy Russell, Barry Geraghty, unfortunately injure themselves, and it is part and parcel of the jumping game.
Yes, it's part of being a jump jockey, isn't it, I suppose.
Mm.
But there you go. And bit news from the flat as well. Apparently Elm Park, last year's Racing Post Trophy winner, is going to go, their aim is to go straight to the 2,000 guineas.
Yeah, well, he's probably going to be a horse who stays a little bit further this year, so the guineas will act as a starting point for Elm Park. I'd imagine it's very high up on the agenda, but the Derby might be the ultimate aim, and the trials come quite close to the guineas this year. The Craven's 2.5 weeks before the guineas, as is the free handicap, and the Greenham's only 2 weeks before the race, so it is a little bit tight. It doesn't surprise me that they're going straight there with him.
Yeah. Speaking to you the other week as well, didn't you say that Greenham was the plan for the Wild Signal?
Yeah.
Is that still okay?
It's possible that he might go straight for the guineas. Nothing's been set in stone.
Right.
But as I say, just we're very happy with where we are with the horse at home, and Dad feels he has him where he wants him. So he's just sort of toying with it in his mind whether he wants to go for the Greenham or go straight to the guineas with a very fresh horse. But no decision's been made as of yet.
Okay. Any other news on your mind, Sean? Anything else you want to talk about?
Anything else I want to talk about? No, we've touched on Good Friday. It's great to be back racing on turf, isn't it? Of course,
yeah.
I enjoyed Doncaster last weekend. I'm looking forward to Musselburgh over the coming weekend, and then really cracking on after that. I was very excited to have the flat back last weekend, and from a personal point of view, I'm looking forward to getting our horses going now. We've three tomorrow, a couple on Sunday, couple Monday, three or four on Tuesday, and we'll keep it going from there. So hopefully we'll be busy enough now.
Okay, well, more flat action to come. It's all about the flat on Friday. In fact, we've got turf racing at Musselburgh and all-weather racing, the all-weather championships at Lingfield, and we'll get Sean's thoughts on those races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Yes, on to the action on Friday, starting at Lingfield in their 210, which is the all-weather sprint championship condition stakes. It's over 6 furlongs, class 2 event, and we start with speedsters here, Sean. We do have betting on site, by the way. I'm just trying to get the sprint up.
I'd imagine Pretend will be
the
short favourite for this, is he?
Pretend 11-8 at the top of the market.
Yeah.
Chuki Royale 5-1, 6-1 for Alban Star. Rivellino is 8-1, 10s for Intransigent, and 12-1 are bigger prices for the others. Who do you side with in the 210.
Well, we'll start with Pretend. I mean, he's been a revelation this winter, hasn't he? A proper all-weather performer. He's been campaigned right through as well. So you'd like to see a horse like him who's sort of lit the scene up, so to speak, through the winter. Take it, and you know, his trainer couldn't have enjoyed a better winter if he'd wanted. Charlie Appleby really has been amazing, the number of winners that Godolphin Operation has sent out. He was winner of a listed race in March, beating Alban Star by a length and a quarter. You'd struggle to see why Alban Star will reverse the placings as well. They were drawn next to each other that day. They're ironically drawn next to each other again today. They've both got good draws, Alban Star in one, Pretend in two. But I think Charlie Appleby's horse definitely has the measure of Richard Fahey's, and Alban Star is considered one of the players. He's 6-1 with us at William Hill. Chucky Royal splits them two horses. He was second behind Sovereign Debt last time out over 7 furlongs. Very versatile horse, this. He's as good over 6 as he is 7 and stays a mile. So he must be a fun horse to own and a great money spinner for Keith Dalglish to train. But I think over 6 furlongs, he might have his work cut out against Pretend. Of those at bigger prices, Intransigent, he needs to step up from a below-par run in that same said race as Chucky Royal last time out at Wolverhampton. Rivellino was a winner at Lingfield, beating Glenn Moss by a head. So, in theory, there shouldn't be a lot between those two this time around, although that was Rivellino's first run in a little while. Glenn Moss had the benefit of race fitness, so I would expect Rivellino to confirm them placings. But I'm finding it very hard to get away from Pretend. I think he could have even more to offer.
Yeah, could be a good day for Godolphin, couldn't it? And Charlie Appleby on the Friday. Moving on to the second race we're going to look at, which is the 3:15 at Lingfield. This is the all-weather mile championship condition stakes. It's obviously over a mile in the betting, headed by Sovereign Debt, who's 5-2, 7-2 for Mind Your Own Business, Captain Joy 9-2, 9-1 for Grey Mirage, Big Baz 11-1, and 14-1 on bigger prices for the others. Who stands out to you in that one, Sean?
Well, the racing is very competitive across the board at Lingfield. I thought this was one of the weaker races on the card. Still huge prize money, 93,000 to the winner. You wouldn't mind one in it. Sovereign Debt's got a lot going for him, though, doesn't he? Having beaten Chucky Royal last time out over 7 furlongs. But he is equally effective over a mile, Sovereign Debt. And let's not forget, this horse has plenty of back class. He was second in a Lockinge 2 years ago behind Far, albeit put in his place by Far, but still, you know, from Group 1 company into conditions company here, you know, he's a very, very good horse on his day, and we know he handles Lingfield because he was placed 3 starts back and 2 starts back. He was second behind Mind Your Own Business 3 starts back. Now, Mind Your Own Business was a leading fancy for the Lincoln. He was kept away from Doncaster last week, though, in favour of this. But that day, Sovereign Debt had to give Mind Your Own Business £10. Today, they're run off levels. So you'd imagine Sovereign Debt will be able to reverse that defeat. He only went down by 3 parts of a length. A £10 pull is huge. Mm. He's got a decent draw in stall 6. So he's a worthy favourite of the others. I suppose you'd have to give mention to the Irish Raider, Captain Joy. This horse has been a real flag bearer for Tracy Collins' yard on the all-weather scene in Ireland over the past few years. He was a good second behind Payne Magnus last time out. We know what a good horse Payne Magnus is on his day, Jim Bolger's charge. And I'm sure he'll go well from a good draw in stall 2. Pat Mullen, an excellent jockey booking. And then of those at bigger prices, I'd give Big Baz a favourable mention, although he could have been berthed more kindly in stall 11. It is a little bit wide, but that was a good run last time out at Lingfield in handicap company when he was beaten half a length by Luna Deity. He gave Luna Deity £5 that day, so strictly on weights and in terms of weights and measures, he should reverse the placings, although Luna Deity is far better berthed in stall 3. I think Sovereign Debt is the one to beat, but he's maybe tight enough at 3-1. I'd struggle to see Captain Joy being out of the frame, so at 5-1, he'd be the each-way stab here.
Okay, staying at Lingfield for the 3:45. This is the Easter Classic all-weather middle-distance championship condition stakes. It's a bit of a mouthful, but we mentioned that it could be a good day for Godolphin. Well, Trista is probably their best chance or the most fancied runner on the card. He's 4-6 at the top of the market for this. Grandissar 4-1, 6-1 for Complicit. Solidarity is 12s and 18s or bigger for the others. Can you see past Trista here?
It's very hard. I mean, the improvement that he's shown this this winter on the all weather has been phenomenal, and he's probably going to be crowned all weather horse of the year, isn't he? Certainly, if he's able to bag this, he'll be crowned all weather horse of the year, having won the middle distance championships and of course the Winter Derby back in March. But he's 4-6. Doesn't make a huge amount of appeal. Whether you'd be backing him at 4-6 is questionable. Grandissar at 4-1. If you wanted to back him each way, I think he'd be very hard to keep out of the frame. With the dead eight runners, he's got a nice shape to it for each way betting. The booking of Ryan Moore for Solar Deity is a big positive as well, and he could outrun his odds of 12-1. He was second behind Trista at Wolverhampton back in February in handicap company. That day, he gave Trista an awful lot of weight. I think he gave Trista something like £10. And went down by a length and a half. So strictly on weights and measures, he should get an awful lot closer running off levels here, but there's no doubt that Trista's improved further since. So I think Trista's your most likely winner. If you wanted to play a forecast, I'd probably have Solar Deity to follow him home, or maybe just Solar Deity each way.
Okay, good stuff. And the final race we're going to look at is the 2:55 at Musselburgh. This is their Royal Mile Handicap. It's a Class 2 event over a mile for the three-year-olds. And the reason I wanted to get your thoughts here, Sean, is because your father has Moonlight Navigator making his reappearance in this.
Yeah, this horse did well last season, winning two of his five starts. He's won round the course. He broke his maiden tag over 7 furlongs round the course, so we know he handles the track. He was second in the good nursery that's run at Newcastle every August, the Bladen nursery. He was then fifth in a valuable nursery from an impossible draw at York, and won a decent novice event up at the Air Western meeting. He seems like he's improved from 2-3. That's no surprise. His pedigree would suggest that he should, and he was always a fine big scopey horse. Who looked like it was all in front of him. We're happy with his work. We feel he's fairly fit. We worked him on Tuesday morning, and he worked very nicely over a mile on grass. We're happy with his draw in stall 5. But this race, it tends to be very, very competitive, doesn't it? Mm. You look, some of the big southern yards have sent runners up, unsurprisingly. William Haggis won this race last year. He's represented with Tad Keek here. He's got a good draw in stall 1 as well, has Tad Keek. And Paul Hannigan knows Musselburgh inside out, having ridden so many winners here when he was attached to the Richard Fahey stable for all them years. Burland, he's another Newmarket raider for Michael Bell. He was fourth in that same Bladen nursery as Moonlight Navigator. We gave him £2 that day. On this occasion, we've got to give him 5. But we beat him emphatically, and I think we're better than we showed that day. So I don't think Burland should be beating us. Spring Offensive, he was second in that York nursery in which Moonlight Navigator was fifth. He ran a very good race. He was berthed quite wide as well. We were in 15 that day. He was a little bit lower, but he was still in 11. And he shot home and just failed to get up. And you'd imagine this will have been the target for Spring Offensive for quite some time. So I think he is the one that we all have to beat. Others to mention, well, Mr. Universe has to shoulder top weight, but for good reason. He was highly tried last year and was last seen finishing third behind Elm Park in a Salisbury listed race in August. Of course, that race worked out incredibly well when Elm Park went on to win the Racing Post Trophy. Mm. Tom Hark won a novice stakes Salisbury on his final start of 2014. He travels a long way from Richard Hannon's base. I think he's got to improve to be winning here. Like I say, I do think Moonlight Navigator's horse will do very, very well this year. I wouldn't swap him for anything in the race going forward, but the two horses I'd respect here would be Tad Keek, hailing from the yard that won it last year, and Spring Offensive.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Sean. Good luck. Can we just have a quick summary?
Yep, no problem. We start in the Lingfield 210, the 6 furlong conditions race, and I think the Godolphin Charge Pretend is going to be very, very hard to beat. Then moving forward onto the 3:15, the mile championships, I'm going to put forward Captain Joy each way at around 5-1. In the 3:45, the middle distance championships, I think Trista is going to be very hard to beat, but at 4-6, he doesn't do a lot for me. So I'd either back Solar Deity to follow him home in a forecast, or just back Solar Deity each way. He's around the 12-1 mark. And then in the 2:55 at Musselburgh, we have Moonlight Navigator going for us. And I think he's a three-year-old that will do very well this year. As I said, the main dangers, though, rate Spring Offensive and Tad Keek.
Okay, good luck with that. Thank you very much, Sean. Enjoy on Friday.
Cheers, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Sean Quinn on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. with Gareth Topham, Lord John Budden and James Millman in the studio. It's all with a championship finals day at Lingfield and a very good card at Musselburgh on the turf as well. So do tune in for all that. Thank you very much for listening to this and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.